Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Kayla, and I am here with my co-host,
Noah. And I had a weekend around here, but I can't seem to find it anywhere. Do you know where it is?
Oh no. Did you lose your weekend?
I think I lost my weekend, which is why I think I'm just going to have to partake in this first episode of our Lost Weekend series. Do you want to explain to anyone who doesn't know what these very special episodes are?
Oh, I would absolutely love to. So, Lost Weekend Film Festival is a film festival that happens in Winchester, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley at the Alamo Draft House. We were invited to come chat with some amazing people, both that run the festival, partake in the festival, watch a bunch of awesome movies with filmmakers and businesses and sponsors. So we've got a lot of very cool film-related fun content for you coming in multiple episodes, but this is the very first one.
Yeah, so we'll be releasing a total of 4 episodes over the next 4 weeks on Thursdays, so that is different from our regularly scheduled episodes, which come out on Tuesdays. So you'll still get all of our regular episodes from us, but these are the special Lost Weekend episodes that will come out on the next 4 Thursdays. This is our first episode, as we already said. So we've got a lot of fun stuff planned, including towards the end of the episode, a showcase on the film An Eternity of You and Me, and an interview with 2 filmmakers that were at the festival.
But make sure you stay to the end, because things just happen left and right. Don't lose your way.
Oh right, because you know, you never know where you're gonna when you're gonna find your weekend. I wasn't sure where you were going with a bit, so I think I got okay. It now. I was a little slow on the bit.
I don't think I delivered as well as I could. I was floundering a little bit. I lost my way.
You lost the bit.
I lost the bit, and here we are. But first, before we get into the showcase and the interview with Jill Gavargazian and Sonathis, we're gonna take you on the floor of the Alamo Draft House to chat with some of the amazing people that attended this festival, some film lovers like ourselves, and hear what they have to say about what they saw at Lost Weekend.
My name is Bill Vaughn. And I live in Woodstock, Virginia. The movie we watched this morning was The Jump. And it was really a sweet movie that took me back to a time when things were seemed a lot simpler than they are today. A lot more patriotism and a lot more of this country being an asylum and a place that people wanted to go. I think it still is. But I think our attitudes have changed so much, and it's become a colder and sadder place in a lot of ways. So it took me back to a time that felt very different. Made me, as an older person, made me sort of think how things have changed since when I was young.
My name is Aaron. I just stepped out of the screening for The Infinite 2 Minutes, and I cannot believe how fantastically done this movie is. It was an absolute marvel seeing this time travel plot of a movie done so well. And if you haven't heard of this movie, the basic concept is a Japanese cafe owner has a screen that is linked to a second screen that is set 2 minutes in the future. And shenanigans ensue. They do this as a one-take style of filmmaking, and just the intricacy involved with trying to get everything to line up just right, with the screen showing what's in the past or what's in the future, and having the actors play off of that in real time, is just an absolute delight, and I would highly recommend it for everyone to see.
So my name is Josh. I go by the alias Captain Nostalgia on my podcast, Victims and Villains. We run a podcast network, a mental health nonprofit, and a film festival that is run also right out of here in beautiful Winchester, Virginia. So to your people that love horror, I'm going to first off recommend The Stylist, my favorite movie of last year. And it is a slasher unlike any other movie. Any other slasher within the genre. So you know, I caught the African Desperate.
Yeah. Did you like it?
It felt like a stage play that was produced on acid. It was a wild experience. Yeah, it's really interesting, like the way it, like, because like some of the way that like the dialogue is delivered feels almost like it's like improvisation.
Yeah, like absurdist. Like it didn't feel like in another reality, kind of very like otherworldly delivery. Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if that's like it's actually like improv or if that's just like actually like props to the screenwriter. The dialogue just felt so natural.
My name is Benjamin Harrison. Today I saw The Jump, which I had no idea about anything around that, and that was interesting to watch. I mean, the character it's all around is weird, and obviously the type of person to jump over a ship is going to be interesting to watch. And peculiar in all sorts of ways. And there's a fun scene of him racing around the ship, the Vigilante or whatever, at night as he would have been when it happened. And there's like, you can see the POV of the cameraman and it's like looking up at stares at him and he's talking about getting pulled away and he moves himself back over from where you can't see him anymore. It was very dramatic for a documentary and a guy recounting it. But it was fun and I enjoyed that. I don't watch documentaries all the time. I would say I watch more like art house like films. So it's always nice to watch that. And I just came from the 2 minutes in the future one. It was very fun. And I would probably need some time to think about how time travel works to then try and make sense of the movie. But it was very fun and lighthearted and so impressive to do on an iPhone, even with their like stabilization thing, just being able to do that in one take is crazy impressive, and I can't imagine it. And it gives me hope as someone who might someday like to make something that you don't need the big equipment to do it.
Thank you to everyone that stopped by our table and gave those thoughts. We love hearing everyone's thoughts about film and giving people the room to just, you know, open their hearts up and talk to the people, get their opinions out there. In addition to just all the lovely people that went to this festival, there were also a few local businesses that helped support the running of this festival. So let's hear from Founders Brewing Company and see why they love film and decided to partner with Lost Weekend.
So my name's Katie. I'm here with Founders Brewing Company, and we sponsor the Lost Weekend Film Festival every year, which we're very, very excited we get to do. We've been sponsoring the festival for probably about 5 years now, and anytime Andy says, hey, come on in, I do, because we get to see some amazing things as a community. But anyway, I know I should probably talk about my sponsored movie, but I'm not, because I don't want to give away anything to any listeners. So instead, I'm going to give a little love to the Cat Daddies movie, just because I'm a fellow cat parent. And it really made me laugh. It really made me cry. But I really love that it's breaking the stigma that, you know, that men can't be in love with a little fur baby. We know they love dogs, but like, it's just really broke my heart to hear that men can't say that they love this little animal, that this little, you know, miniature panther in their house. So I just love the message. I love that they got some really honest, wonderful moments, and mostly, you know, showing that there's options to help these animals live. And I think it's a great film for any animal lover, but especially for anyone who has a little cat in their family to please go see it.
Do you want to talk any more about like why you like movies and being a part of this and like being here?
My background originally for school was in music theater, so I always have been to the movies, always wanted to be an actor, and what drew me to this film festival is when I lived here in Winchester for school, we never had this. So being able to come see films that I probably would have never seen or get to see before other people all in one weekend is pretty fabulous. But just the Alamo here in general, we get to see some films that are just, you know, I know are out of reach for other communities and other states even. So I just really love the fact that I can come here and kind of get lost, pun intended, with so many different genres. Because again, my world was mostly musicals, comedy, and through coming here, I like realized I love documentaries and you know, and love some of the darker comedies and some of the, you know, thrillers and things like that. So it just really opened my eyes to a lot more genres, and that's why I kind of love coming.
Yeah, so make sure to check out Founders Brewing Company on their Instagram, their Facebook. They're a really awesome business, and the people who run it were really cool.
Yeah, and thank you to them for sharing one of the films they watched, because, you know, we all love cats.
And we all love daddies. And with that, let's go to an ad.
Yeah, well, we'll have a couple ads here, a couple plugs, and then when we come back, we will get into our film showcase for the episode.
And we're back. Before we jump into our film showcase, let's chat with Girls on the Run, the nonprofit that was partnered with Lost Weekend. They did raise $12,000 over the weekend through the auction and people donating, which is really awesome and a great testament to our local community. So let's hear what they're all about.
Hi, my name is Annika Ingram. I'm the Executive Director for Girls on the Run at the Shenandoah Valley. Our program has been in existence in this area for 11 years. We work with girls from 3rd through 8th grade. We teach girls how to be good friends, how to make good friends, how to make healthy choices, conflict resolution, all while training for a 5K. We teach them how to give back to the community. They do a community impact project during their program. And we offer scholarships for any girl who needs one, as well as running shoes. And we're excited to partner with Lost Weekend 15 because most of the films are by females and have lots of female themes. And we're just excited to be here and share what our program is in the Valley, because not everyone knows that we are more than a running program. You can find all of our information on our website, which is girlsontherunsv.org. You can donate, find out how to bring our program to your area. We service the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia all the way down 81 to Rockingham, Harrisonburg area. Contacts at info@girlsontherunsv.org.
So make sure you check out Girls on the Run on their social media pages and their website. Those will all be linked in our show notes so that you can find them and learn more about their organization. And now, on to drumroll, the film showcase.
Wow, that was some great
sound effects. Thank you.
And music noises.
I'm a professional sound effect person. You can find me on Fiverr.
Fiverr. $10 for my trumpet.
$10 and I will give
$15
you a
if you want to add on the drum roll.
Ah, yeah. So we're talking about the wonderful, charming, wholesome, moving documentary by filmmaker Sana Thies. It is her first feature-length film, and it is called An Eternity of You and Me. This was the opening night film at the Alamo.
Wow.
Everyone raved about this film all weekend long.
Yeah, this documentary definitely opened the festival with a bang. Like you said, it's a very personal, moving documentary about the filmmaker and her husband and their struggles to have a child in Denmark. That's where they live. And it's really interesting just watching the very long process. It's like a couple years at least, truncated into this shorter runtime, and like seeing all these emotional and like very big life moments happen in such succession, in such an amount of time, and going through that journey with them of trying to have a child and all the things that they have to go through and all the ups and downs. And you're really like just with, you're there with them through the whole story. And it really builds up to just like a really great conclusion that, I don't know, it makes you feel just like so satisfied because it feels like you went on this really long journey with them. And it kind of shows the power of film because, like, obviously, like I said, it's this long span of time that we're going through. She's able to take us through that journey with like very seamless editing in just this short amount of time. So let's hear what some other people that went to the festival had to think about this movie. And then when we come back, we can share you some of our thoughts.
It was really an amazing movie on a lot of levels. One, I felt it rang home a little bit for me because my son and his wife have been trying to have a baby and unsuccessfully. So I instantly felt, you know, what they were going through because of that. I wonder if people that are having trouble having babies and with things like that, if they feel like somehow they're being punished and or they've done something wrong. And the truth is they're not being punished and they haven't done anything wrong to deserve something like that. It's just one of those folds in the universe that some people are able to have lots of babies and some people can't have any. It was a really amazing movie, and to be also for her to share that much of herself with people through a movie, of her intimacies and things about her body, I thought was really courageous to do that and to be filming it not really knowing how it was going to turn out for them. I thought took a lot of courageous moments, and for her husband to agree to do that took a lot of courage.
I can actively see the director and star of the first film right now, so I don't want to talk too loud. But I don't know if it was the first feature-length film that she had made. Obviously, it's very hard to make a feature-length film, and recording 800 hours of footage is immensely taxing and very impressive to have come up with that and documented something that was so hard to go through. It was a good film. And she's not too close to me. So yeah.
Thank you to everyone for sharing those thoughts. We love to hear a plethora of opinions about film on this podcast. That's kind of why we do a lot of the different types of episodes that get other people to share their thoughts. As far as our thoughts go, we both really like this documentary. We watched it together, which is not something we usually do for a lot of movies that we talk about on this podcast. So that's always fun. Yeah, I really like documentaries like this that are less quote-unquote talking heads documentaries, interview style documentaries.
Heads, David Byrne? What?
I love talking heads documentaries. I like the talk like Stop Making Sense. Like talking heads documentaries are good, but not talking heads documentaries.
Yes, of course.
Yes, very very different. Talking heads should make a documentary where it's just them talking, like the talking heads are just talking.
Oh, that would be funny.
And no footage.
I wonder how no one's
I think David
thought of that
Byrne
before.
Would really like that.
This is a very observational, immersive experience. Like Noah said, you do really feel like you're experiencing this journey with them and going on this roller coaster of emotions that they are. I think for a lot of people watching it, many people probably know someone who has experienced an infertility journey and kind of they're learning about other people's experiences in wanting to have kids and that desire and the lengths that they go to make that happen to create a family. It's just really beautiful. It's a very moving piece. I know we've said that multiple times, but it is. And I think it's clear that it is from all the other people that were moved by it and she's amazing, and you'll be able to hear a little from her. On the other side, you'll also be able to hear here in this interview, we did a sort of tandem chat, kind of not really a round table because we sat in a room.
Yeah.
But
it's like two, we were four, total of four. I feel like you need like five or six for a round table. So it's like
Yeah.
A square table.
Yeah.
Because we're all at a corner.
Yeah, and there was no table. But
well, they don't have to know that.
There was a chair equipment was on.
Don't break the magic.
Well,
don't break the illusion.
Movie magic. It is all magic. But Jill Gavargazian also joined us, and she directed her first feature film as well that also screened at Lost Weekend. It was one of the later showings. So it's called The Stylist. So Jill was previously and still works as a hairstylist, but she also loves horror movies, loves horror content, wanted to make a horror movie. And so she sort of took this idea that morphed from her styling of a sort of slasher film that comes out of that. So Noah, do you have a synopsis for us of The Stylist?
So this is the quick synopsis here. It's a lonely hairstylist becomes obsessed with the lives of her clients and descends into murderous madness.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty, very stylish. Very,
The stylist
very horror-esque.
Is stylish.
Yes. A stylish stylist, you could say.
Wow. I hear that there's some scalping involved.
yeah, I mean, there is. And I think a lot of our listeners are pretty into horror. In like niche horror, so I think we have a lot of listeners that actually probably would be really interested in this. So for horror spooky season,
yeah, if you want to give it a watch, it is streaming on Shudder. If you're one of our horror fans who I know has Shudder, so without further ado, let's jump in to this very cool interview with some people that are way cooler than us.
That's not even possible. We're so cool.
We are cool.
Hi, I'm Jill Gavargazian, and I directed and co-wrote The Stylist.
Hi, my name is Sonatis, if I have to pronounce it right, but everyone calls me a sauna, and that's fine by me. I directed the documentary An Eternity of You and Me.
So you guys have, both of your movies are in different genres. So yours is a documentary, and yours is a horror slasher. So one question that we were thinking is, what is your favorite movie in the other person's genre?
Oh, wow.
Do you ever watch documentaries?
I do.
Because I've avoided scary films. For, like, the wildest thing I've done recently was Stranger Things.
Okay.
I feel like
and
that
for
counts.
Me, that's already a little bit like, I'm, like, on behind my blankie, and then my husband has to tell me when I can look again.
Nice. I feel like that counts. Because it's, like, it's definitely an entry to horror. Like, I know a lot of kids.
That was your entry to
and,
horror,
like, teenagers. Yeah. What?
That was one of your entries to horror.
Yeah. And then Get Out was one of my first ones that I watched. It. And then until I got into others.
I don't know. I would actually like you guys to explain to me why you enjoy watching horror. Because I don't know. I get, like, scared for a whole year after watching
I think those of us just like the feeling of being scared. And with in a movie, it's like a safe place to be have to experience that feeling. You know, like it's gonna end and it's not real. I think that's a lot of it.
Does it have no effect when you come out? Okay, so you just saw it.
I am
here, and then you have to go to the parking lot.
By a movie, I will say, like it has to be really scary.
Yeah,
for me
like
to be scared.
I definitely.
But maybe I'm just desensitized because I used to be scared.
I don't know.
Now I'm just, like
I've had
like,
to warm into it. Like, because I never used to be able to watch any horror. Like, when I was a kid, I watched Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet the Werewolf, and that gave me nightmares for like years. But now, like, I still
You're
can't watch like hardcore. Like, I can't watch the like Saw movies.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes I'll watch a movie and like tell me if I should watch it or not.
Yeah.
But like some stuff I've been able to do, like Scream. I did the Slumber Party Massacre trilogy last year, which is like
that might be your edge.
I think. Like I push it. Like but my line is kind of like anything that feels like it can happen in like real life.
That's the ones I
like. Those are the ones that I don't like. Like ones to me, like The Exorcist, like when I watch that, like that doesn't really faze me because I'm like, okay, this is something that I don't really like believe would ever happen to me. But if I watch like a slasher, like I can't watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre because
that would be my favorite probably.
Yeah, because I'm like, that would be like that puts too many thoughts in my mind. Good. Where like I walk outside and I'm like, is someone gonna go and like kill me?
Anything with ghosts.
Oh yeah, Casper.
No, Casper is alright. Like I can't do. I will actually like that's start like one. Seeing shit and stuff. Like wow. It's not good. What's that? When I was 8 or 9, I saw that film where Sean Connery is a friendly dragon. Which one is that?
Friendly.
It's pretty
dragon.
Old.
I don't know.
Got the guy looking it up.
And I'm gonna sound ancient, probably. What?
Dragonheart.
Yeah, probably Dragonheart or something. And this is a friendly dragon. And I saw that, and then I couldn't sleep for just like weeks. And my mom was just like, "Okay, you're not allowed anymore to watch.
You're not allowed to watch these kind of movies."
Yeah.
So what about you? What's your favorite documentary, or one of your favorites? It doesn't have to be definitive. Your final answer.
It's silly because I'm sitting here. I do watch documentaries, but now I'm like racking my brain for the name of a damn documentary.
It's also difficult when you're on the spot like
this. I know. I guess a really good and powerful one I can think of recent years is that 13 from Ava DuVernay.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
That was a good documentary.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Yeah.
What if you watched a documentary about horror?
I was just interviewed for a documentary that's about to come out, actually, called The Legacy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original film. That's going to be a special feature for the Sight and Sound release, which is a UK boutique label. I haven't seen it yet. I've only seen the trailer, and I'm in it for like a little second, but I'm so excited because that is my favorite horror film.
Yeah.
Like of the classics for sure. Love it.
I like the classic monster movies. So like Dracula, Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah. Like, do you like those?
Yeah, those are okay.
Because those like aren't scary, but those like, count as horror.
They're almost more sad to me, which I really like that.
Yeah.
So your films are different genres, but you obviously, there's films, right? So you're in the same medium. Mm-hmm. So what drew you guys to film as a medium to tell your stories as opposed to like other artistic mediums?
I haven't even thought about that because it felt so natural. Yeah. I think it was just so obvious for me. And I was always watching documentaries and like reportages and stuff on TV. I don't know why. I guess I always trying to hunt for understanding other people, why they do what they do.
Mm.
I cannot make anything up. I'm so just jealous of people who can write a screenplay and things like that. I cannot do that, or I can't. I'm not even good at writing a voiceover. I can set up a situation and I can predict something is probably going to happen here, but I need to observe it.
I kind of feel like I didn't go to film school, and then I kind slowly was led to this place that I grew up like dancing and doing photography, and I loved fashion, and I am actually still a hairstylist, and I did theater for a while, and so I don't think actually until I saw some independent films at a horror convention now like almost 10 years ago and met the people who made them, and that's when it like dawned on me that real people made movies, not just like super famous people or like really rich people. Or I think I never thought it was something like in reach that anyone did seriously or for so long, and that just like blew my mind. And I started like a screening series and then met so many filmmakers that it just like it led to this. And I just love it. When I was younger, I always focused on like what was on screen, so I thought I wanted to be that, and I was never good at that, or like never comfortable doing that. And I think it took a long time for me to realize I wanted to be like
behind the camera
and doing, you know, because that's all you see as a kid. And I didn't thought about like who was making this when I was really little. So
Yeah, there's always those movies that I feel like people have when you realize that people are making movies. These aren't just like things that just like appear out of thin air. Like these are things that people are making. So I think that's always an interesting shift that happens as you get older, when you kind of realize that it's not just a magic screen. Like it's something that people have
still
to work at.
Magic.
It is still magic. It is still magic. Yeah, but very cool.
Yeah, do you feel like coming into making, because this was your first feature.
Yeah.
And was this your first feature as well? Do you feel like you had any specific challenges like coming in as a woman filmmaker? Or do you feel like you didn't have any like special hoops to jump through?
On my own film, I didn't feel like it was a challenge. But I worked in TV for 10 years and there as a photographer. And that can be a little bit challenging. Like, also, like, when people say, like, oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to send a film crew over, and then it's me. I'm kind of a short girl with just a camera, and then they would always be, like, disappointed that it wasn't, like, a big dude. Like, and it's like, is this even real? It's like, yeah.
I feel the same in my project. I don't feel like it was that I faced challenges because of that specifically, just because I was, you know, working with people that I love and have worked with for a long time. I think it would be different, like she said, if I was working in the industry on bigger projects.
Yeah.
But yeah, I try not to really think of it that way or think of myself. And I also like to, it's like I don't know any experience other than the one I've had.
Sure.
You know,
no, exactly.
Or if it is harder or whatnot.
Yeah. Also, my producer is a woman. My editor is a woman. My composer was a woman. So like, I don't think I've even thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it like being able to create your own space to make your own kind of project? Like, how does that feel?
It's really difficult and tough while you're in the process. Trying to keep believing in yourself when there's not like just people throwing money at you and saying like, oh my God, you're so great.
Yeah.
That's the most difficult. But then, yeah, being able to make your own thing, that's amazing. Like, this is the first time I got to make something that I had, like, complete control over. It's so satisfying. Like, it also turned out exactly how I wanted. And, yeah, it's amazing. I don't even have, there's, that's why we started doing this, right?
So. Right.
Yeah. There's the challenges of the money and all of that is horrible. But I am very thankful to have made the film at such an independent level. We didn't have anyone to, you know, answer to other than what we wanted to do. And yeah, it's really nice to be able to kind of like create your own slowly build like your dream team or family to work with. And, you know, like you said, I try to work with a very like diverse crew and have as many women involved as possible. And it's fun to make movies with people that you like to be around. That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, and that you trust and that help you with your vision, but contribute with what they're good at. That's really great. Yeah.
Great. So what we thought would be kind of a good final question is, are there any movies or shows, anything really, that you've seen this year or at this festival that you would want to recommend to people listening?
I'm a new mom, so I've had like no time, right? It's like,
Yeah,
this is the first time I've come out in like 3 years. let me think.
I'll make one while you think. Probably on a totally opposite end, a new horror film that just came out called Barbarian, I would suggest now that it's Halloween season. That is the most wild. In fact, you talk about being scared actually like while watching something. Mm-hmm. That movie was just like incredibly tense, so freaking incredible. I haven't seen something that badass, like of that level of like studio horror in like over 10 years. It's so scary and so awesome and so unpredictable.
I feel like horror this year has been really good so far.
It really has.
There's
like
been a lot of,
it's been an incredible
horror
year.
Movies.
Well, and Smile just came out too. Have you seen that yet?
I need to see Smile. I might even sneak over and see it this weekend.
And then X and Pearl, like having both of those.
I love those.
It's just like there's so many creative horror films this year. I need to see Barbarian though. I've been
and
waiting
the Halloween movie.
The Halloween movie. I didn't really like the last one though. So
yeah. Well, I heard that the last one was for this one.
I mean, I'll watch the new one though. Like I'll watch it.
Sure.
Like of course I'll be there.
What documentaries do you guys like?
Oh, I love
Kayla
documentaries.
I love them too, but you like
I like any Frederick Wiseman documentary. I love his style and like how he immerses himself in a subject without like fully dictating what he wants the viewer to see from it. Like he just presents you with everything and you usually would probably come to the conclusion he does. But let's see, what else do I like? I like The Times of Harvey Milk. I think that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. You like Minding the Gap?
Minding the Gap was really good. Yeah, that's a skateboarding documentary.
The Hottest August?
Yeah, that one was
that
good
was
too.
Recently.
The Hottest August. Yeah. And then she did The Prisons of the 12 Landscapes as well.
Yeah, and we were talking to you about Jesus Camp. That's a
Jesus
good
Camp
documentary.
Is a great really documentary. Good. Yeah.
And then I watched one recently called Kelly Loves Tony. That was like a PBS documentary. And it's like the director just gave, it's like a very young couple that just out of high school having like raising their kid, and the director just gave them a video camera and then just it's just the footage that they filmed, and it's really interesting documentary. So I think we both like ones that are that feel like it's just
like a narrative,
like
yeah.
observation mm-hmm. narrative. Kind
oh,
of stuff.
Then maybe you thought mine was okay because yeah. it's only observing.
Yes, we did
we
say
were
that.
Commenting on a lot of the, like the composition of the shots and that, it, like it was felt very natural, but like obviously there's so much that goes into it that you don't think of when you're watching it, but like it just yeah. feels like, oh, obviously the camera would be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like yeah. as much like I'll watch an interview documentary, like
yeah,
where they're talking about stuff.
Like,
yeah. yeah, like, and I think talking those heads. Are important, but that's yeah. not what I am like normally drawn to. Like mm-hmm. I like things that feel more like they're just presenting, like they're not telling you something. Like
they're not telling you what to think. Yeah, they're showing you something and you can make up your own mind.
Yeah.
What are yours?
Have you seen the one called Songs of Repression?
I have not.
Came out last year. That one was pretty special. It's about, like, I would say a sect in South America. Mm. I thought that was I really like when they're very stylistic. So, yeah, not just, like, run and gun. I mean, I like those too, but yeah. I have a special love for the ones where, you know, the visual aspect of it gets some extra attention.
Yeah, you can tell do so much with the visuals. Documentary, I feel like sometimes people don't think about the visuals as much.
Yeah.
But then you could just make a book. Like, if you should definitely use the visuals as a big part of the story if you're making a documentary.
Yeah, and that when if I'm going to make something, I always think, like, okay, what's the best way to make this story? Mm. What are the rules, the visual rules for this story?
Yeah.
And I don't want to make something that's ugly.
That's always good, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you should watch The Hottest August, because that one's, okay. like,
it was
beautiful.
Similarly colored.
Yeah, it was similarly color graded as well as yours, like, with the softer palette and the kind of, like, a little bit warmer tones. Okay.
I also like where they play a little bit with, like, the lines between fiction and a documentary.
Yeah.
There's this, the production, what do you call it, the production company I worked with, they made a documentary called I think it's called The Stranger in English, and it's where they put a lady who she got what do you call it, like catfished or what, like someone was pretending something, so and she for a whole year she got fooled, and then it was a podcast that became very famous, and then they put this lady in the scenes again, so the lady was real and she had done this, and then all the other stuff got played with actors, so
yeah,
she got to
yeah.
do it again.
Yeah,
and then sometimes the director would all of a sudden ask, like, why didn't you think at this point this can't be true?
That reminds me of The Rehearsal, that show, Nathan Fielder show.
Okay.
It's a very good show. I think you would like that show. It just came out. Yeah, thank you guys for doing this. This was great. A lot of great thoughts, and we will have information about both of your films in the show notes, so anyone that
cool.
wants to find out more can go there. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and yours you. Is on Shudder right now.
Yeah, you can check it out on Shudder, The Stylist.
Alrighty, friends. Let's...
Yeah, enough of hearing other people's opinions, because this is our podcast, so we can't let an episode end without sharing our just incredible opinions.
Oh, yeah.
Really correct
opinions.
We are
so qualified to be talking about movies. We're basically experts, so...
Well, it does say in our description that we're highly unqualified, but...
Ah, bummer.
So the one that we decided we wanted to talk about in this episode was one we both saw called The African Desperate, which is a film that came out this year, or is coming out this year. I'm not sure if it's, like, fully out to rent yet. It might still be, I think it's still doing, like, its festival run. But this was a really interesting film directed by Martin Sims, who is not only, like, a filmmaker, but also just really big in the art world. I looked at her Wikipedia, so I'm like an expert now, okay?
Uh-huh.
Like a lot of, you know, installations. I think that's like what the art
sure,
people
sure.
call it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it really shows in this movie, because obviously it is about, as we'll talk about, like someone that goes to an art school. But even the film itself feels sometimes more like an art piece instead of, not that it isn't, that doesn't have a story and it isn't like an interesting narrative, but it also has like elements of like an art piece to it, as well as also just being about someone in art school. So
yeah, it was very interesting. It's very much a relic of like what I think is coming in new movies. Like this feels to me like what we can expect of, I know it's a specific like subgenre of art house film editing, but I feel like it's a direction that we're moving toward in like younger up and coming filmmakers that do art house films, because it felt very unique and fresh and like nothing I had ever seen before. But it also combined some like very modern humor and memes and almost like an enhanced YouTube editing style of like the fast-paced, like boom, 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 boom to music with like fan cams. Like it almost feels like an era of like combining like fan cam editing.
Yeah.
It's a really fresh, the editing is what really like blew me away in this movie. I don't know that the story itself hit with me as much in some parts. I did think that it was super funny. The whole like opening sequence, cold open, which it sounds like that hit with pretty much everyone that watched it. I know there were some people that had dissenting opinions about this movie or didn't like it as much.
Yeah, we couldn't get anyone to record their dissenting opinions, unfortunately. Yeah, we tried, but no one wanted to share them.
We tried.
But it was a very divisive film. I think it was a decent, not like packed theater, but there was a good, like a decent amount of people in the theater. And by the time it was over, I think there was only like, besides us, two other people.
There was a little more than that. There was a little more than that.
I don't know. There was one behind us, one next to us, maybe like two in front of us.
But
there was a lot of people that left.
So this is one that's like, which I fully condone walking out of movies that aren't for you. And I think that this is one that like just wasn't for other people and is for a specific like subgroup of people or appeals to a certain audience. That's not to say people can't enjoy it, but I do think that like there were a lot of things that were like very, very specific, like modern like TikTok humor or like Gen Z humor. Like I know the director who made this is older than Gen Z, is a millennial.
She's millennial.
It felt on that cusp.
It felt like,
of, like
early
very
millennial, late Gen Z, like early millennial, older Gen Z kind of vibes for sure. And I think the actress that plays the main character is a little bit younger too. So it like you get a lot of different a mix of those two. The movie, I don't know if we like said, but it's basically about this art school student who is like the it's not really spoiling because it's like in the trailer. Like the opening is like her just finally finishing her art degree, and she's about to go back home after finishing her art degree. And it's like takes place on the last night before she goes home. Obviously, there's like a party, and that is basically what it is. Like, it's just like her last night at this art school, and we get to see all these interesting, varied characters throughout the night that are just like all the different kinds of people you find at like these types of art schools. And it's a really interesting, just like you said, I think, document of like this kind of humor in this time in history that I think we'll see a little bit more going forward. Like I think even last year Zola, there's a lot of similarities with that movie editing wise and sound design wise.
This is basically this movie, like, if you combined, like if you did a mashup and you turned Greener Grass and Zola into one movie, like they blend together and they have a baby. It's this movie. That is what I think. Like, it's got the aesthetic and the creative, unique decisions that Greener Grass does with the, like, sort of ethereal type cinematography look. And then you also have, like, the chaos, the social media, the modern slang, and the music of Zola. And you kind of just make it one movie. It's the African Desperate.
I would also say a little bit of Climax.
I haven't seen that
2018.
One. So.
Yeah, you would. It's basically like the party scene, but like the whole movie is the party scene.
Okay.
But I definitely think there's a lot of that in this as well. So like, it's like, yeah, take like those, all those like more modern, which are, I think are also pretty like divisive films. Like they have people that really love
them. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like Zola at all. And I was kind of middling on Greener Grass. It's been a while since I've seen it, but
I thought it was pretty
this
good.
One for the most part. There were things that I thought it was really fun. Like, but I was very happy to have seen this one.
It was like I didn't give it 5 stars, but one of the, like after I watched it, I was just like really excited about it and was like, wow, that was a really cool movie. And I'm glad that someone made it and it exists, you know?
And that Lost Weekend got it and gave us the opportunity to see it in a theater.
Yes.
Because the sound made so much, like, it was so important to the editing style. So it was just a W all around. Major wins.
Major wins. So yeah, once it comes to be available to anyone listening, I would highly recommend you watch it. Basically, that's the end of this episode. Next episode, we have similar things. So we have some more on the floor segments. And then we have another interview with Jeff Seal and the Libby brothers about their documentary, New York's Worst Landlords. And that's a very fun interview. So I'd highly recommend anyone listening to this one.
Yeah, it gets very chaotic. But
yeah.
Too much chaotic.
It's a lot different of a vibe than this interview. So it's like, you get a lot of different interview styles in this Lost Weekend series. But yeah, thank you to, first of all, Andy Geyerson, who runs the Lost Weekend Festival, for giving us this opportunity to speak about these films and interview these directors.
And speaking of the directors, a special thanks to Sana and Jill for coming and chatting with us up in the projection room.
Thank you to both Girls on the Run, Founders Brewery, and other businesses that we will highlight later in the series, and MUBI for being big supporters of this festival as well.
Yes, we love MUBI.
Local cinema. We do love MUBI, and I think they're doing they're at least now or soon they're doing like one of their sales. So if you can get MUBI, and they have a lot of really great cinema. I think MUBI actually did The African Desperate. I think they produced it.
The African Desperate comes on MUBI October 21st. So you can get your MUBI subscription and then you can watch The African Desperate. And then you have to tell us what you think about it because we need to hear more thoughts. So I think you can send a voice note through Anchor. I don't know how that works. Or you can email us and let us know. Email us.
Yeah, it's all our socials, everything is in the show notes. So let us know your thoughts on The African Desperate once you get your MUBI subscription.
Yes. And thank you to the Alamo Draft House for hosting the film festival in Winchester, Virginia. And the nice employees in the projection room who let us record our interviews up there on the shining carpet.
No one listening can see the shining carpet, but there is a shining carpet in that room.
For our regular listeners and our regular podcast folks, or anyone who is listening now that wants to listen to our regular, we normally upload on Tuesdays, and we will be uploading a regular Spooktober episode on this upcoming Tuesday, covering Hocus Pocus and Hocus Pocus 2, and then this next Lost Weekend episode that we just teased will come out next Thursday.
Wow, so much content, so little time. That's so thank you all for listening to this episode, and until next time, I'm Noah
and I'm Kayla, and we're your second hand.